Today's shir is Masechta Erevin, Daf Lamed, and we will begin on Daf Chof Tesma Beis, five lines from the bottom, Amar Yehuda Mishmul. The Gemara continues to discuss how do we determine what is the amount of food we need to use for an Erev, Tchumim. Says the Gemara, Amar Yehuda Mishmul, Kol Shuloichim, Liften. Any food that comes to be eaten along with bread, it's not the entire meal, it's eaten along with bread. So the shear is the amount that's eaten, kedei lechabai, the amount that's eaten by two meals. You don't have to have that is the entire meal. All you need to have is the amount of that food, which is an accompaniment to bread, that's eaten at two meals. V'kol she'ena liftan, something which is not something which accompanies bread, but it's eaten by itself, then the shear is kedei lechem emenu, the amount that you eat of that bread. The Miches Zikaron explains that since the point of the Erev is that wherever we place the Erev is where I'm going to dwell, so as long as it's food that has some significance, and as our Gemara identifies, sometimes it has significance because it's eaten with bread, and sometimes it has significance because it's eaten by itself. But the point is that we need to get to a level of significance, and once we get to level of significance, that's why it can be used as an Erev. Basachai, when we speak about raw meat, kedei lechem emenu, the amount that you eat of the meat itself. Raw meat wasn't eaten along with something else. Basatzli, however, roasted meat, rava amma kedei lechaba, the amount that you eat with bread, Rabbi Yosef says kedei lechalimenu, the amount that you eat itself. Amr Rabbi Yosef, so Rabbi Yosef explains what is the basis for his position, menoa minala, from where do I take my opinion, the hani persai, because the people from Parsi, Persians, achal tafka b'loy nahama, they would eat roasted bread without anything along with it. And since it was eaten by itself, that's why that's the shear. Amle Abaya. So ask Abaya to Rabbi Yosef, or Parsa have a Rubida Alma? Are the Parsi the most of the world that what they do should become now the guide how we should look at meat? Ask them of Atnan. And a word of introduction is required. The loch is that in order for a garment to become tamei, it has to be a significant shear. But the shear depends on who is going to use that garment. Poor people, who even a small piece of material has value to them, the shear is gimel atzbas by gimel atzbas. Wealthy people, where a beggar that's just gimel atzbas or gimel atzbas is not really of any value to them, the shear is gimel tfachim or gimel tfachim. Now, there's a machlokes rishonim, what type of tumah on a garment are we speaking about? Rashi explains that by all tumas, the begadim of a shirim, the begadim of wealthy people, the shir is always going to be gimel tfachim or gimel tfachim. But there are rishonim that disagree with Rashi, and they explain that our discussion is talking about tumas medris. And the reason they explain that it's speaking specifically about Tumas Medris goes back to a concept that we've discussed many times. When we speak about Tumas Medris, which we mentioned recently, is a tumah that comes to a beged when it's meant to be used to sit or stand on. What the Gemara always says is, very often when we learn these sugyas, the Gemara says that how do we make the determination if it falls into the category of something which could have Tumas Medris? The rule is, do you say amoid v'nasim lachteinu? Could somebody say this is used for this purpose or it's not used for this purpose? So since Seiros Rishonim, we see that this halacha is limited to Tumas Medris. So that's why they say that by Tumas Medris, we look at the value of this material for the person who's using it. By all other Tumas, we don't have that rule, and since we don't have that rule, we don't differentiate by the size of the garment. So again, ask the Gemara. Omle Abaya or Parasai have a Ruba Dalma? Are the Parasai most of the world? And that's why we're going to determine what to do with roasted meat according to what they did. For Tanan, the Mishnah says, Big Daniim, where we measure the size of Tumas Begid by Aniim, we follow the shear of what is significant to Aniim. Three etzbos. Big Dan Shear, when we look at garments, material owned by wealthy people, the shear is what's choshev hashirim. Av a big deal hashirim laniyan loy. But if you have garments that are in the possession of poor people, we don't have to have three tefachim by three tefachim in order that they should mekabel tuma. But even if they just have sholosh or sholosh etzbos, the mekabel tuma. Similarly, asked the Gemara, when we speak about roasted meat, yes, the Parsayim eat roasted meat by itself, and they don't eat it as an accompaniment to bread. And there, indeed, the shear will be how we look at, you have to have meat alone equal for two sudas. However, other people that eat this roasted meat typically along with bread, by them, the shear is that the shear should be what's choshev today, how they eat it. And since they always eat the roasted meat together with bread, we shouldn't look at the meat itself. We should look at the amount that you eat together with bread. And as Ritva explains the Gemara, one is, from here we see that we don't always have a consistent shear. Sometimes we go with the smaller shear, and sometimes we go with the bigger shear. And certainly, says the Ritva, in our case, where the Parsayim aren't even the majority of the world, we certainly shouldn't let their minig, what they do, teach us what everybody else should do. V'chi tema, and if we'll say, hach l'chumra l'chach l'chumra, we always want to go l'chumra. So therefore, by the big day aniyim, we're going to go to Chumrah and say that even though the piece of material is just as small as Gimlet's bars, it's going to be Mekabel Tumah. And by Erevin, we always go to Chumrah and say that it's not enough that the amount of meat that you eat with the bread, it's the amount of bread that you eat, the amount of meat that you eat alone. So that's maybe the way to understand the halacha. Says the Gemara, that isn't true. I'll show to you that we don't always just follow a chumrah, because the Brisa tells us, Tanya, Shimon Elazar Omer, Ma'arvin L'Choyel L'Zaken, when we're making an Erev Tchumen for a sick person or a older person, the amount is Kedei Mezoinai, the amount that he eats, which is obviously less than everybody else. L'Ur Avison, but for a person who always eats a lot, the Shir is Mazon, the Shir Su Debein Shekoladim, as much as everybody else eats, even though he normally eats more. So indeed, says the Gemara Kasha, Rabbi Yosef says that by the Bosat Tzli, we follow what the Parsayim do, and they eat the Bosat Tzli without bread, even though most people eat Bosat Tzli as a liftin. So we see that the fact that the Parsayim do this should not be of any factor, should not be the reason that the halacha follows what they do for the whole world. Ask the Gemara. But before we learn further in the Gemara, we need to say a word of introduction. We know that Rachman Tzlan, if there's a mace, if there's a dead person in a home, there's Tumas oil. And what Tumas oil accomplishes, that all the people and the kalim that are in that same oil are Tumei, Tumas oil, a very high level Tuma. But then the question is, how do we look at the doorways, at people or kalim that are not actually in the same home as the mace, but they're under the doorway? So the halacha is that even though the doorway, especially after the door is closed, one could certainly suggest that that's outside of the home. There's a concept of soif tuma lomis, lotzos. Since the mace will be taken out of the door, we look at that door as if it's open, and tuma passes to the area under the door. But the Mishnah in Masechet Olos, Perek Zayin, Mishnah Gimel, teaches us that if a home has a number of doors that are all closed, Since we don't know through which door the mace will exit, all of the doorways are tamei. But that explains the Mishnah and the Gemara is only when all of the doorways are at least four tefachim wide. Or even if they're less than four tefachim, but all the doorways are of equal size. But if you're going to have a doorway that's four tefachim wide and the other doorways are smaller, then the halacha is that only the doorway that's four tefachim wide will have this tuma of soif tuma latzes, not the other doorways. And the same halacha would apply if there were a number of doorways to the home. Some were four tefachim high wide, and some were less than four tefachim wide. The ones that are four tefachim wide are going to be tame. The ones that are less than four tefachim wide are not going to be tame. Our Mishnah discusses where you have a very large person who passed away. The Gemara always uses the example of Oig Melech HaBoshen. Says the Gemara, Umi Amar Rav Shimon Melozi Hachi, that did Rav Shimon Melozi indeed say that even if you have an individual who's a Rafson, who eats a lot of food, we still follow what everybody else eats to determine what should be the size of the Erev. For Tanya, Rav Shimon ben Elazar, our Rav Shimon ben Elazar says, Oig Melech HaBoshen, again, he's always the example of a very large person, and there's an individual who's that size who passed away in a home. Pischoy Tumalayay, only the doorway through which this body could fit becomes Tamei. So if there's one doorway in the house through which he could exit, and all the other doorways are too small, the halach is that only that doorway will be tamei. But if all the doorways in the home are too small, then they're all tamei. Because since we're going to have to break a doorway, and we don't know which one is going to be the doorway that we're going to have to break, so we follow all the doorways. We say that we don't know, and it could be any of the doorways. But what do we see from here? That since this mace is of a larger size, we take that into consideration when determining which doorway should be tamei. So ask the Gemara, so why not by the Rafson, don't we say the same thing, and that we should take into consideration that he eats more, and therefore the shear of his Erev ought to be more. Vabaya. Abaya says you can't bring a raya from one subject to the other subject. Hasam, we can't use a regular person's size. Because, hey, Chilevet, what do you want to do? Hadume nadume v'nafke? Do we want to cut him up in order to take him out? Of course we can't. We're not allowed to be menavla mes. We're not allowed to treat a mace that way. And therefore, we have to treat either the door that fits him, or all the doors if there's no door that fits him. But that has nothing to do that with our situation where we have, where the person who's a hungry person can eat less. And therefore, his shear should be the shear as everybody else. Ibailu, ask the Gemara, Pligalei Rabbanan, the Rav Shimon ben Elazar, do the Chacham disagree with Rav Shimon ben Elazar and say there's no difference what the size of the mace is, and they'll agree that, and they will hold that any doorway which is four tefachim wide is tamei, Eloi, or they're going to agree that we have to take into consideration this mace's size. Toshma, Damar Rabba Bechana, Amar Rabbi Yochanan, Oig Melech HaBoshan, when we speak about Oig Melech HaBoshan in a house, he's treated like all other niftarim, Upeschei Be'arba, and the size is any door that's four tefachim wide, we're going to say is tamei. Says the Gemara, that isn't a compelling proof, says the Gemara, that the Chacham disagree with Rabbi Elazar. Hasam, deke psachim ketanim tuva. There are many small entranceways. Vikechada have arba, and there's a doorway that's four tefachim wide. In such a situation, even Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar will agree that the doorway which is four tefachim wide, even though it's too small for Oig Melech HaBoshen to exit, will be tamei, and all the other doorways will be tar. The vadi kikamarvach, because if we're going to have to extend this a doorway, we're certainly going to extend the doorway which is already bigger, and not extend the doorway, which is so small. And therefore, even if Shimon Belazar will agree that only the doorway, which is already 4 tefachim, is tamei, and all the other doorways are tahor. And that's what the Chachamim meant when they say, Oig melech ha-boshen peschei be'arba, that if you have one doorway, which is 4 tefachim, and all the rest are smaller, certainly that's going to be the doorway that's tamei. When Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar said, Oing melcha b'ashchon pischei k'meloyoy, that's when you have many doorways, and they're all 4 tefachim. But if there's one doorway, and therefore all the doorways ought to be tamei. But says the Gemara, says Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar, if there's one doorway that he fits through, certainly that will be the doorway that we intend to take him out. What's going to be the halacha, that if you have a number of doorways, none of them are the size of Oig Melech HaBoshen, but one, and they're all 4 tefachim or larger. So Rashi seems to hold that certainly the largest one will be Tamei. Even though it's not big enough for him to go out, it's still too small. But again, the Gemara is teaching us a halacha that it makes sense that if they're going to have to break a door, they're going to break the biggest opening already. There's another very important concept, and that is that if there's a specific intention to take the mace out of a certain doorway, then that always becomes the doorway through which we say we're going to take the mace out. If chishev alav, that's what the people decided to do, and the other doorways would not be tamei. Says the Gemara, Amar Rav Chiya bar Ashi, Amar Rav, Ma'avim bebasachai, we're allowed to use raw meat to make an Erev. Amar Rav Sima bar Chiya, Ma'avim bebeyachayus, we're allowed to use raw eggs to make an Erev. Ask the Gemara v'kama, how many eggs are considered the shear to make an Erev? Says the Gemara, Amar Rav Nachman bar Yitzchak, Sinai. Rabbi Yosef was always considered Sinai because he was a tremendous Bucky, he had tremendous knowledge in many brises and mishnayos, and they were clear to him, like they were given Sinai when we received the Torah in Sinai. And he says the shear is shtayim. Why is the shear 2 raw eggs? Says the Ritva, because there are people that eat raw eggs, and we don't say that nobody eats raw eggs. The Shals of Tshuvas, Hari Besamim, asks that how can we allow 2 eggs to be the shear for an Erev? The Gemara Masechta Pesachim, he asks, teaches us that there's a concern of zugos. Zugos means that if you eat, you're not supposed, that anything that comes in pairs, there's a question of sakana. So how could we have 2 eggs? 2 eggs, we're not supposed to eat 2 eggs. That's zugos. So he answers that, as we're going to discuss later in the shir, that many Tanoim are of the opinion that we only can make an Erev Tchum in Ledvar Mitzvah. So since the Erev Tchum is being made for Dvar Mitzvah, when it's a Dvar Mitzvah, we need not be concerned about the Sakana. We learned in the Mishnah, Hanoidim in Amazon, if somebody makes a neder that he won't have any benefit from Mazon, he's Mutter B'mayim B'melech, because they're not considered mazon. So what do we see from our Mishnah? The melech mayim who delight your mazon. Salt and water are not considered mazon. Hakam mili, any other food, ikri mazon, is considered mazon. Ask the Gemara, lem tavi tiyufta the Rav and Shmuel. This seems to be difficult with the opinion of Rav and Shmuel that we learned in Masech the Brachas. The Rav and Shmuel dami tavayu, eim mevarchim bari minim mazonis. The only time you can make a bari minim mazonis, elo, al chamisha samin and bavad, only food that's made out of the 5 grains. So we see that according to Rav and Shmuel, the only thing that's considered mazon are the 5 grains. From our Mishnah, it's clearly indicative that any food falls into the category of mazon. Ask the Gemara, v'loya sivna chazimna, when we learned Masechta Brachos, daf lamed zayin amud aleph, the opinion of Rav and Shmuel was refuted then. So, and that's why we learned that on rice and a millet, we make a bari min mazonos. So we already know that their opinion is not the halacha. What's the point of making this comment here again? Says the Gemara, lema to yufta Nami Mahal, to say that our Mishnah is also proof that it's that their opinion is incorrect. And as the Rashbam in Masechta Pesachim Daf Kuf Beis Omen Aleph Divrei Maskil Neima explains, what does the Gemara mean to say that if, as we just said, Rav and Shmuel's opinion were refuted in Masechta Brachos, if somebody will have the ability to say why their opinion, that question is not a question, now we'll have another question. Amar Avnuna says, Rav Avnuna, our Mishnah is not speaking about a situation where somebody said, Koinem Mazon Alai, that there indeed, the halacha is that the only thing included in Mazon are Chamishas Minim. Our Mishnah is speaking about somebody who said, Kol Hazon Alai. Kol Hazon is a much broader statement. And therefore, even though Mazon is only on the Chamishas Haminim, Zon is much broader. And as I saw the Rishonim explain, mazon means something that nourishes and also satiates. And that is limited to the chameshes haminim. Zon is something that nourishes, even though it doesn't satiate. And therefore, any food gives you some level of nourishment besides, says the Gemara, salt and water. Ask the Gemara, is that true? The mayim and melechud de loy zayni, that only salt and water don't offer any nourishment. Hakom mili zayni, all other foods offer nourishment. Ask the Gemara of Amar Rabbi Chana, kava zlina basrei de Rabbi Yochanan lemechel peri de genoisa. I followed Rabbi Yochanan in order to eat the fruits of genoisim that grow next to the kinneret. Kavirim bei meya, when we were 100 talmidim, have menaktina lechol chad v'chad asara asara, each one of us would carry 10 fruit. Kavinim bei Yisara, and if we were 10 Talmidim, havim naktinu kol chad v'chad meya meya. Each one of us carried 100 fruits. V'kol meinu menayu, and 100 of fruits were that large, loy machzik l'tzana bas tlos asoi. If you had a barrel that was so large that it could hold three saw, it still wasn't big enough to hold 100 fruits. V'av ochlu l'kulan. So we delivered to Rabbi Yochanan 1,000 fruit. And after he ate them, he said, that I didn't get any nourishment. So we see that even these fruits, delicious fruits, but they don't offer any nourishment. Says the Gemara, nourishment zon they do offer. They didn't offer mezoinah. So the Shas HaTshuva's Torah Lishma says that here we see that they traveled a decent distance to get these fruits. Why? So he explains that they, because in general, we need to understand, is this what Rabbi Yochanan, the great Rabbi Yochanan, spent his day eating 1,000 delicious fruits? But the entire story is to teach us that they wanted to praise and show the shvach of Eretz Yisrael, the praise of Eretz Yisrael. And how is the praise of Eretz Yisrael evident? Showing how delicious these fruits were, that you could eat 1,000 of these fruits and not feel anything. And with this, the Mashal explains that we look at the Parshas Meraglim, that the Meraglim carry these beautiful fruits from Eretz Yisrael, and they use that as a proof that Eretz Yisrael is not a worthwhile place to live. And the question is very obvious. If Eretz Yisrael produces these large and beautiful fruit, so that's the best raya that one should want to live in Eretz Yisrael. How to become a raya that one should not want to live in Eretz Yisrael? But he says, our Gemara gives us the answer. Because our Gemara says that even though these fruits were delicious, but our Gemara says they don't offer any nourishment. And that's why the Meraglim said, when they wanted to be Moitzi Diba Ala Oretz, they said, yes, the Eretz Yisrael may have these wonderful fruits, but these wonderful fruits don't offer any nourishment. So what's the point of that? What's the point of being in Eretz Yisrael? Says the Gemara, Amar Rav Huna Amar Rav, if somebody says, Shvua Shloichel Kikazu, somebody makes a shvua that he won't eat this fruit, this bread, but he only made a shvua that he won't eat the bread, then the halacha is Marvin Laba. Then it could be used for an Erev. Even though he can't eat it, but still he could have an offer from it, he could give it to other people, and since he could give it to other people, it's a valid food for an Erev. However, if he said, Kikuzu Olai, so he says, he didn't mention Achila, He said, any benefit from this kikur is also to me. So he's not going to have any benefit from this Erev. Then the halacha is Eima Aravim Labo. It can't be used for an Erev. So again, the way Rashi explains the difference between the two wording. In the first one, he only said Achila, but he could give it to others. And since he could give it to others, so he could have a Nor from it. Therefore, he could be used for an Erev. But when he said Kiko Zelai, means he prohibited himself from any Hanor. And since he prohibited himself from any Hanor, therefore, he can't be used for an Erev. Another pshat that the Ritva explains, because typically, when somebody makes a shvur regarding bread, it's only regarding eating. And because that's what people normally think about when they think about bread. And therefore, it's only eating that it can't be used for, but not for any hanor. The Rashbam has a whole different approach. The Rashbam's approach is that we know, we learned Masechet Nedarim, we will learn it again in Mitzvah Shem, that the difference between a neder and a shvur is that a neder is a lashon, it's a heftza. We're making this object osur, like hegdish. A shvur is a gavra, it's the person. And therefore explains the Rashbam, that's why if he said it b'lashon shvur, he only meant that I can't eat it. But if he said it b'lashon neder, he means that this object should be osur. And since he meant that the entire object should be osur, it can't be used for a erev. Meisvei, ask the Gemara, it says in a braisa, if you make a neder from a kika, you could use it for an erev. My laugh, and doesn't it seem to be a case, especially according to the pshat that we gave from the Rashbam, where the Mishnah is using when the braisa is using the word neder, which means an issa heftza, and still the braisa says, my laugh, a lie, and still the braisa is saying can be used for erev tchumim. Says the Maraloi. The braisa is speaking about a situation that he said that he's not going to eat the kikur, which we just said you can still use that bread for a erev tchumim. And says the Gemara Hochinam Mestabra that that's the proper way to understand the braisa. The Ktani Sefer, the braisa continues teaching us. So the Sefer is explaining the Reisha, and the Seif is saying only because he prohibited himself from eating it, that's why this bread could be still used as an Erev. Aval, but what would indeed be the halacha if he said, kike olai, my what be the halacha? Hachanam, deim avimba. Then, as we just learned, you could not use it for an Erev. Ask the Gemara if that indeed is the halacha, ad tani, the Braisa continues to teach us, if somebody says, kike ze hegdish, Eim arvin laba. You may not use it for an Erev. Lefisha eim arvin begdashis. You're not allowed to use something which is hegdish for an Erev. But ask the Gemara, lifnik v'lisnik b'dedei. The Gemara could have said even a stronger point. The medvar mamurim, when if you made a neder from the kikur, may you use it for an Erev, domar, shvur, shloichel, kikuzu. Aval omalai eim arvin ba. So if that's the case, why didn't the Braisa tell us even a stronger halacha? Amalach Rav Huna, Elamai, Kalecha, the Amar Alai. So what are you suggesting? That if you're going to say Alai, it could be used for an Erev. But in Kashiration, the Reisha that says only when you said Shvua, when you said Shleya Tamena, that's the only case you could use it for an Erev. But Kikazu, it seems it can't be used for an Erev. In other words, the Gemara is saying that the Braisa is sort of self-contradictory. Says the Gemara, Tchsuri Mechzvach Ketani. This is the way to understand the Braisa. Hanoidim and another, Hanoidim and a Kikur, Ma'avin Laba. If you make another that you're not going to have from the Kikur, you could use it for an Erev. I feel Omar Lai, Nasuk Oim Shvur Shloyatamena. It's only considered as if you made a Shvur that you will not eat it. And therefore, you could use it for an Erev. But ask the Gemara, become Akum Kashal Rav Huna. We still have a question, according to Rav Huna, who said that if somebody says Kikazu, you can't use for an Erev. And here it seems you can. Answers the Gemara, who Damak Rav Eleza? Rav Huna is going to follow the opinion of Rav Eleza. The Tanya Rav Eleza, Oyim Shvu Shloyach Kikazu, Ma'avim Ba. But Kikazu Alai, Erev Ma'avim Ba. So in other words, what the Gemara just did is turn it into a machloikas tanoim. If you could use, if when you use the word kikazu, is it good for an Erev or not? Ask the Gemara, Miyam Rabbi Elazar Hachi, if so, is this indeed the opinion of Rabbi Elazar? Vatanya, didn't the Brisa say, Zeh klal, Adam Oisei Atzman Ba'oichel, if all the person did was say that I won't eat this bread, then Ma'avon L'boi can be used for an Erev. Oichel Nasa L'Ol Adam, but if he made the entire food Asur on him, and he didn't connect it to something that he will do, eat or not eat, Ein Ma'avon L'boi. Rabbi Elazar Oimer, Kikazu Olai Ma'avon L'boi, Kikazu Hegdish Ein Ma'avon L'boi, L'fshem Arbe Hegdashis. So we see that Rabbi Elazar says that Kikazu Olai, you can be used for an Erev. So how do we reconcile the opinion, the contradictory interpretation of Rabbi Elazar's opinion? It says the Gemara, Trei Tanai, leave it to Rabbi Elazar. There's a machloikas tanoim, what is Rabbi Elazar's opinion? So the Rashba explains, why can't you use something which is hegdish for an Erev? We know that if you magdish something, you could have it annulled. You could be shoyel neder, you could be matan neder. And we're going to learn in our shiur today that whenever you could be matan neder, then there's no problem of using such an item for an Erev. So the Rashba explains that when do we say that if it could be shoyel, then that food could be used for a nether? Says the Rashba, it's only in a situation where even before you were shoyel nether, somebody could have had hanor from this food. But if you're magdish of food, obviously no one can have hanor from this food. And even though ultimately you may be able to be shoyel on this nether, that still, but at this point, since no one in the world, it's hegdish, no one can have hanor from it, therefore it cannot be used for an Erev. So we learned in the Mishnah, Ma'avon l'nazir b'yayin, we could use wine for nazir to make an Erev, and we could use truma for Yisrael to make an Erev. Says the Gemara, Masnisen, Deloi, Kibay Shammai. Our Mishnah is not consistent with the opinion of Bay Shammai. The Tanya, Bay Shammai Omrim, Eim Ma'avon l'nazir b'yayin, we may not use wine for nazir, or we may not use Yisrael b'truma. Something that the person who wants to use for the Erev, Tchumim, can't eat, may not be used for an Erev. Basil Oimrim, Basil disagree, and they hold Ma'avon l'nazir b'yayin, we could use wine for another, or Yisrael b'truma. Amalam Basil b'shamay, Iyatamoydim, don't you agree that Shem'avon l'gadol, that even though you have an individual who's an adult, who obviously may not eat on Yom Kippur, and he can't eat this food on Yom Kippur, still, we could use food for an Erev Tchum on Yom Kippur. So you see the fact that it's not edible to this person doesn't prevent it from being an Erev Tchumim. Amar lahem, so Beis Shammai responded, Avol, yes. Amar lahem, so Beis Hillel said, if you agree that Kishem Shema Avon L'Gadol B'Yom Kippurim, that we could use food on Yom Kippur for a Gadol as an Erev, Kach Ma Avon L'Nazir B'Yayin, so too the halacha should be that we could use wine for a Nazir. Well, Yisrael B'Truma, how does Beis Shammai defend himself? Beis Shammai, Hosam Ika Suda Ruil B'Boy Joim. There's a Suda that could be eaten on the Erev Yom Kippur. The halacha is that what is the moment that you could eat it, that the Erev has to be effective before Shabbos, before Yom Kippur, and I'm allowed to eat there. Hacha, but when we speak about truma for Yisrael, wine for another, leka sudaruya b'baijoyim, they can't eat that food before Shabbos, and therefore it's not a valid Erev. So Rashi explains that the reason we could use food for an Erev on Yom Kippur is because we could give food to Ketanim, they're allowed to eat on Yom Kippur. And the Rashba makes a very important point. He says there are two types of food that we're not allowed to eat. Sometimes we have food that we're not allowed to eat because the food is inherently osur, something that's not kosher. And sometimes we have food that it's not the issue with the food. The issue is that at this point, I may not eat the food, but later on I'll be able to eat the food. So he says, the food that's considered osur, that I can't use for an Erev, is only food that is inherently osur, not that it's dependent on, not it's dependent just on the time. But the Macheshes, based on what we just said, says from here, we see that we're allowed to give food to a child to eat on Yom Kippur. Because, and it's the way to look at it, is not, says the Macheshes, because if we won't give the child to eat, it'll be a situation of Sakonish Nefoshes, because that would mean that the food is inherently usur. It must be that there's no din of Yom Kippur on a child. And since there's no din of Yom Kippur on a child, there's no problem with the food that we serve him. So we just learned that according to Beis Shammai, food that somebody can't eat can't be used for an Erev, a Nazir can't have wine. Says the Gemara, our Braisa that says that according to Beis Shammai, apparently, if it's food that can be eaten and may be used for an Erev, Commander, like Chananya, is not consistent with the opinion of way Chananya explains Beis Shammai's opinion. The Tanya Braisa teaches us that Chananya, I'm a call Atzman shall Beis Shammai, like I'm Moidim Be'erev. They hold that you can never use any food for Erev Tchumim. The only time you can have a valid Erev according to Beis Shammai, according to Chananya, is if the person is there by Ben Shmoshes, and that shows that's where he intends to dwell for Shabbos. But just putting down food will be inadequate. Here it seems that Beis Shammai holds that food can make an Erev as long as you can eat the food. Ask the Gemara, command as Lahoda Tanya, there's another Braisa. The Braisa says, if somebody took residence when Shabbos began wearing black clothing, and then he went back to his home, and tomorrow he wants to go and use that Erev Tchumim, but he wants to change clothing, he wants to wear his white suit. The halacha is, he can't do it. Because since those clothing weren't there at the Mokum Shvisa Baben Ishmashas, they can't be taken out of the Erev. And similarly, vice versa. Blavanim, if you were kind of shvisa while wearing the white clothing, layetze bishchayrim. Kaman, whose opinion does that represent? Whose opinion does that price represent? Says the Gemara, Amram Nachman by Yitzchak, Chananya hivalib de Beishamai. It represents the opinion of Chananya according to Beishamai that if you want to, you rely on the Erev Tchumim, you have to bring the objects that you want to rely with, on this Erev Tchumim with to that place, Ben Ashmashas. Ask the Gemara, does Chananya hold that somebody who is Kanish Fisa in white clothing can't wear black clothing? He can wear the white clothing. Ha'amar, but doesn't Chananya hold? And it's not just enough that you took your clothing, says the Gemara. Hachikama, this is the way to understand it, Braisa. Ir Bilvonim. Somebody wore white clothing when he put the Erev down, banish mushes. For Hutzruch Shchayrim, and then on Shabbos he wanted to wear the black clothing. Vaf Levonim, then even the white clothing that he wore on Erev Shabbos, lo yetzei. Since he didn't take on Erev Shabbos to the Mokam Erev what he wanted to use on Shabbos, then the Erev is not a valid Erev. Whose opinion is that? Says the Gemara, command. Says the Gemara, Amram Nachman Yitzchak, Chananya Yivalib to Beis Shammai. It's Chananya according to Beis Shammai's interpretation. We learned in the Mishnah that Ma'arvin L'Nazir B'Yayin U'Yisrael B'Truma, that a Nazir could use wine for an Erev, and a Yisrael could use Truma for Erev, even though they can't eat the food. Since other people could eat the food, that is enough to make it into a good Erev. And Simchas Omer, and Simchas says, B'chulin. The Yisrael can only use chulin, not truma, because since the Yisrael may not eat truma, the halacha is you can't use it for an Erev. But ask the Gemara, or comments the Gemara, when Mishnah spoke about two halachas, it spoke about truma for Yisrael and wine for a Nazir. And says the Gemara, we only find in the Mishnah that Simchas disagrees by the truma for Yisrael. But we don't find that he disagrees regarding wine for a Nazir. Ask the Gemara, my Tama, why doesn't he disagree? The Nazir may not drink wine. Answers the Gemara, because Efshta Mitchell and Nazirosa. As we mentioned earlier, even if somebody accepts Naziris upon themselves, he could be shoyl on it, he could have it annulled. And therefore, it's potentially a food that he may eat. Ask the Gemara, if that's the concept you're going to follow, what is Truma? Truma is that you're designating this food should be truma. The halacha is that somebody could be shoyl on that. Says the Gemara, okay, so what's going to happen if you shoyl on it? It's going to be tevel. It's going to be food that is tevel. And the halacha is, as we're going to learn in the Mishnah, that you can't use tevel for an erev. Says the Gemara, v'lifreshalei memakamacher. But ask the Gemara, this food is not prohibited, because even though we haven't taken off truma, the halacha is you don't have to take off truma from every portion of food separately. I could take from somewhere else and have in mind that it should be effective for this food, and therefore it won't be aser. Answers the Gemara, the halacha is that when you're taking off truma, the fruit that you want to take truma off from has to be right there. And even though the Rishonim explained that the Gemara uses the wording of leinechtu chaverim, which seems to mean that only chaverim are always considered people who are meticulous in their mitzvah observance, they don't do it. Really, it's not limited to them. It's everybody can't take truma in that fashion. And since they can't take truma in that fashion, it's not effective. But ask the Gemara, so good. So take this tevel and take off truma and the rest use for an erev. Answers the Gemara, the lesla bashurim. We don't have enough that we should take off truma that we're obligated to take off and still have enough left for the shear of the erev. Says the Gemara, my pascha. So we're explaining that our Mishnah is speaking specifically about such a case where there isn't enough to take off for both. So as the Rishonim explained the Gemara's question, to explain our Mishnah that it's limiting itself to that, that Sumchas is limiting himself, specifically that situation where if I'm going to be shoyl on the Truma and then I'll have Tevel, I won't have enough to take off Trumas and Maestris and still have enough for an Erev, is a very limited example. Is that the way to understand our Mishnah? Says the Gemara, Sumchasov lak Rabbanon, the Kovet Dovashim Shvus, anything that's asked to be done because it's Issad Rabbanon, Gozal HaBeinashmashas may not be done Beinashmashas. And what do we want to do? That Beinashmashas, we put down Truma for the Erev, and what do we want to say? That we'll be Shoyal on the Truma, and then take off the Truma Samaisris. But the halach is that on Shabbos, we're not allowed to take off Truma Samaisris, and now our Gemara is saying that if you're not allowed to take it off on Shabbos, you're not allowed to take it off Beinah Shmashos, and therefore there's no way for the Yisrael to ever be able to eat this food. And since there's no way for the Yisrael to ever be able to eat this fruit, that's why it's not valid for the Erev. Says the Gemara, Kaman Oz Lahad Tanan. The Mishnah Masech Kalim teaches us, Yesh Amru, Hakol Fi Mashu Adam. Whenever we talk about shiurim, it depends on the size of the person. For example, when we bring a korban mincha, the kohen has to separate a kaimitz. Meloi kaimitz mincha, it depends on the size of his fist. Meloi chafnov, the kohen gadol, when he entered the Beis HaMikdash, the kohen kedosh on Yom Kippurim took in a handful of ketores. It depends on the size of the kohen's hand. The halach is that on Yom Kippur, obviously, we're not allowed to drink. How much may we not drink? The amount to fill up the cheeks. It depends on the size of your cheeks. When we speak about the shear of two meals by an Erev, it depends on the person. Some people eat more, some people eat less. Kaman, whose opinion does it seem to follow? Amar Zera, Sumchasi, that it seems to follow the opinion of Sumchas, the Ma'idah Chazalei Be'inan, that just like Sumchas learned in our Mishnah, that the amount of food, it has to be food that's edible to the person who's going to rely on it, and therefore, according to Sumchas, a Yisrael can't rely on Truma. So too, the amount of food depends on how much food you eat. Says the Gemara, Lema, should we say that this opinion, Pligad Rav Shimon Elazar, will be in conflict with Rav Shimon Elazar taught us at the beginning of our shir. The Tanya Rav Shimon Elazar Omer, Ma'avin L'cholim Mezokin, Kedei Mezoinui. We use for a sick person, for an elderly person, the amount they eat. But when we speak about Rafson, we look at Besuda B'nei Neshbeka Adam. We use the amount that everybody eats. And we don't say, well, this is an individual that eats more, and since he eats more, the shear should be more. Says the Gemara, Tirgma Achayel V'Zakin. We're going to explain that the Mishnah that we say goes according to every person by Achayel V'Zakin. Avil Ratzon, why by, so then we should say the same by Rafson. And we should say the same that a person who eats a lot, the shear should be bigger. Says the Gemara, there we have a new concept. A concept that we learned, Batla Da'atel Etzuko Odom. Says the Machzah Shakel, if we're saying that when we learn from a Chayil V'Zakin, we look at each person individually, so it's not only, says the Machzah Shakel, that we look at the amount of food, and that's why the Gemara is suggesting that Chayil V'Zakin, who eat less food, the shear will be less, we also look at the type of food. And if there's food that a sick person is not allowed to eat, he would not be allowed to use that food for an Erev. We learned further, Ulekoyim Beisa Pras. We could put a Erev down for a coin and a Beisa Pras. A Beisa Pras is a place, is a field where there was a grave that got plowed up. That the Aloch is a coin may not enter such a field, but maybe he's going to, because there may still be bone fragments. And if he'll walk there, he'll be able to, he'll touch the bone fragments, which a coin has now become Tamei. So why indeed is the Aloch that a coin Erev could be in such a field? Says the Gemara, Dam Rabbi Yudam Shmuel, Menapach Odom Beis HaPras V'Hilch. A Kohen could blow walking through the Beis HaPras, and since he won't actually and see there's no bone fragments, because if there's a bone fragment, he'll avoid it or he'll blow it away. And therefore, since there's a way for a Kohen to go into such a place, so therefore an Erev could be put in such a place. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Rabbi Yehuda, you have a base of press that got all trampled on by people who walked there, it's tar, because we could assume that everything was already trampled. There's a machlokes rishonim, when we're being lenient here on a base of press, when do we take that leniency? Some rishonim say it's only ledvar mitzvah, and it goes back to something that we mentioned earlier in our shir, that they are of the opinion that an Erev could only be put down with Tzorich Mitzvah. And with Tzorich Mitzvah, we can rely on blowing. However, there are other Rishonim that say that under all circumstances, you could rely on blowing through the area of a Beis HaPras and not only by Dvar Mitzvah.